Just FYI, this is an updated version of part one of the first podcast I ever did. I do have a better mic now, and there were quite a few changes I wanted to do in the upcoming parts that I wanted to kind of make it seem more seamless with part one. So, just wanted to let you know, and I hope you still enjoy. Thank you. Once a King, Part One, The Undevoted King. It was the year 1291 of the Monarchy calendar. Prince Lisen of the Kingdom of Padrid had just been crowned as the new king of the land, a kingdom of lush greenery, expansive farmland, and exquisite marble stonework. It encompassed many smaller regions and towns, but was a long-standing pinnacle of power. Lisen's father and former king, Hester, was also one of great renown and prestige, but was barely even known to his son, nor did he take any interest in the state of his son's affairs. Yet despite this, the former king had no qualms about his son becoming king, as per the law of the land. It was said that King Hester summoned his unattached son to merely utter a sentence or two to him before his eventual passing into the night. Despite their mighty differences, Lisen shared an uncanny resemblance to his father from his former years. Hester beckoned his son to him, as Lisen went down onto his knees with not even a frown on his face. There was no emotion in his sharp green eyes, yet also none in his father's. His father spoke.
You will become king.
And after what seemed like a pause that lasted forever, his son's knees growing impatient, the king said again.
Yes, you will become a king.
He then whisked his hand weakly as a sign that his son could leave. Prince Lisen rose and sighed, but was quite unfazed. He would become King of Padrid, and he would not be like his father. To put into summary, he was already not like his father. He drank till long hours into the night, usually with a lady on each arm as he woke the next day. He was decently adept with a sword, but couldn't ride a horse to save his life. He only ever attended a single meeting of the court, if you could count stumbling into one, for about a minute before realizing it was not the way to the royal bathhouse. In all honesty, the council, the people, and even his sister were incredibly concerned about Prince Lisen becoming king. But alas, it was the law of the land. It stated that, if thy firstborn be a male, then the child must inherit thy estate, thy possessions, and thine throne until due death. If thy firstborn be a female, then thus can choose which child may inherit thine throne, if thy deem to have more children as a necessity. Some thought the king a tad foolish for not watching over his son more fervently. Prince Lisen was now the only one entitled to the throne, unless his death were to come swift or untimely. And so it began, the reign of an undevoted king. He made it his mission to do the opposite of anything the court suggested him to do that would be like his father. He knew that everyone loved the former king. It was even said he received visions from the goddess Padrea herself. But Lisen couldn't fathom a devout man such as his father, renowned and caring, to not give any care unto his son. Though from this it also meant he had lived a very careless routine of a life, without repercussions. His mother passed shortly after his sister, Lara, was born. She seemed like the favorite of their father, the one whom got all the encouragement and attention. It is why any rebuke he got from his sister for his selfish deeds fell on deaf ears. The kingdom fell into a sort of disarray, a state that the prince did not give much thought to. He would occasionally hear the pleas of his subjects, but his rulings were more of a way to make him amused or to have a quick laugh. It was not a terrible time for the people of Padrid, as most could get by easily within the walls of the kingdom. But any desire to make strides forward upon what was great before was sorely lacking. The kingdom was not progressing, but more in a subtle, stagnant state that the council and Princess Lara knew would decline within time. However, their hands were tied. There was nothing they could do but watch and advise, from little to no avail, the child of a king. A year passed like this, when the prince was suddenly woke by a nightmare. He had seen the kingdom from his balcony set aflame with screams and terror filling the streets. He turned away from the horror, only to face his father, whom promptly shoved him off the balcony and into the ever-consuming flames. He shot up so fast that he accidentally shoved his Lady of the Night off his bed, much to her displeasure. He hardly even noticed as a grimace contorted on his face, sweat dripping from his brow and ashy locks. He was still plagued by his father's image. He was king now, and yet still a shadow of his predecessor. But had he not done anything noteworthy at all? Why did father only care for his sister? But like the person he was, self-reflection was not his concern. He threw on his robes and looked out across the balcony to the bashful blue moon that crept lower down the horizon. The sky was still clear, as the stars offered promises of riches in another life, one away from the tortures of a lowly king who seemed undeserving. Today, though, would be different. Yes, different indeed. He sat at his throne, awaiting the usual coming of a select few subjects. He mindlessly sat as he let an advisor handle most of their woes. But something caught him. A woman, at the very end of the people who were lined up asking for favors and pleading their cases. The woman was beautiful from what little he could see. Her face was half covered by a hood, showing only half of her thick lips and striking blue eyes, strands of ebony hair gently in front of her only seen eye. He held out his hand, and everyone silenced. He pointed to the lady and beckoned her to approach him. She did so slowly. "What is your name, my dear?" he asked fervently.
"Ava, your grace,"
she declared softly. "What dost thou wish from me? You come with a desire, do you not?" he asked in a lively tone.
"I wish for nothing for myself, except that of a desire to save the kingdom."
King Leeson's smile fell. "What do you mean? Explain. Is the kingdom in danger? Our enemies were the tales of old and centuries past."
"A new threat will come for your kingdom, one of fire and terror like you've never known."
The king sat back in his seat heavily, remembering the dream he had had that very day. His head was held low as his eyes shot up at her.
"How do you know of this?"
"I was given this warning by the everlasting goddess Padrea, but also a vision of the very artifact that can save our land."
Leeson realized this may be the deed to give him the respect he was deserved, and rightfully so. For the first time ever, King Leeson sat up straight in his throne. "Speak. Tell what must be done." She explained of a magical ring deep within the Idrisian forest that could make one powerful enough to be enveloped in fire and not have a hair out of place. They would be able to control the power of one who could spew out the very rage that was said to befall the kingdom. The power to change the course of history. The enticed king declared that a party would set forth on the morrow. He would be leading the excursion into the forest, and asked Ava to lead them to the enchanted place she described. He then dismissed the last of the waiting subjects, declaring that more important business was to be held amongst him and his council. Princess Lara was among the rest of the court that brought themselves to attend what King Leeson called the truest meeting of his reign. There was a new vigor that they could see in the young king, something that had sorely been lacking for the past year. "My sister Lara will be in charge of the estate while I am away, securing our future," his eyes locked onto the council. "Perhaps then, when I return, you'll be more giving of the respect that I rightfully deserve."
"How long will you be absent, sire?"
one of the council members inquired. He was older than the rest. King Leeson paused, his hand reaching his chin. He hadn't accounted for the time.
"I'm unsure of the length of the journey."
The council members looked at each other. "Don't get too excited of my absence. I'm to assemble a great cavalry for my endeavor to expedite the trip."
"If I may, Your Grace, but you have had some trouble when it pertains to the royal steeds that we have stabled."
King Leeson shot the member a sharp eye. "We have carriages, do we not? I'd implore you to learn of these things before you insult your king so flagrantly." With that, he arose. "This meeting is adjourned. You shall all see me off tomorrow. You know your stations. Send word to all the subjects in the land and fetch as many servants as you can to get ready the necessary preparations." He gave his sister a steadfast gaze before flashing a smirk.
"If only dear father could see me now."
He fell asleep that night, alone. He felt it a stoic thing for a future hero of a king to sleep in solitude before a great task. Though he did miss the opportunity to woo one of his mistresses with his up-and-coming exploits. He awoke early the next morning from the same nightmare as before. This time, only his anger was as plain as day.
"I will surpass you, father. I will be truer to myself than you ever were,"
his voice echoing across his elaborate room. He used the remainder of his time sharpening his sword skills in the combat hall before having a light feast made for his delight and the knights that would accompany him.
Today marks the start of a tale that will be told for generations. Relish in the notion that you have been chosen as the knights who will partake of such an endeavor.
Hear, hear!
The knights shouted together, and they drank to that toast most diligently. It wasn't long before all of them were mounting their steeds and checking their blades. King Leeson was already snugly housed in his carriage with the knight at the reins. He revealed himself for but a moment to shout to the onlooking subjects.
"I shall return, and we will all be greater for it."
Many feigned a look of admiration as they waved to the enthusiastic king. He could still feel the hollow fame that encompassed him. It soured his mood only in his mind and for just a moment, as he believed that he would acquire true recognition when he returned. Just as his carriage was about to take off, he saw his sister, Lara, watching amongst his council. She had a small smile on her face, to which she mouthed just a few words to him. He wasn't quite able to make them out, nor was he encouraged to do so. He had greater things to concern himself with. As he retreated back to his ride, he turned his attention to Ava, whom he only allowed to accompany him in his carriage. He sat opposite of her with a grin wide on his face.
"So, my dear, how difficult shall the journey be to get to the forest that you saw in your vision?"
She smirked as both of her icy blue eyes locked on him. The Idrisian force. It will take about a week, but the journey shan't be dangerous. To our good fortune, I received another vision last night.
King Leeson was intrigued. Go on, he gestured with his hand.
The goddess Padrea is grateful of your quick resolve. She has blessed this journey with her grace. I saw no danger befall us in the vision, only white light shine amongst your face.
A prideful smirk appeared on King Leeson. He was getting respect from the goddess herself, someone who he hadn't paid too much attention to for some years. He now felt stronger than ever. Surely he would surpass his father. His time was now.
Thank you for listening to the first ever podcast of the Stories of Avalon. Once again, this is an updated version of podcast part one, with the original floating somewhere in the ether right about now. I've been changing the way I plan to handle this podcast, and the story expanded much more than I expected. Aside from that, this is only part one of a now four-part story. If you enjoyed it, please let me know. I appreciate any advice to improve the quality. I am currently working with a much better mic as of now, and have been enjoying it thoroughly. Once again, thank you. King Leeson should be back in an updated part 2 before the ever-delayed part 3 comes out soon. Till next time.